Yeah, I'll just start then. For last week when I was gone, I left this. Did anyone do any of these things? Or did you just do something else? Yeah, what a surprise. Yeah, it's fun. Well, we're like still good on time when it comes to like all the stuff that I need to talk about, so it's not really that big of a loss anyways. Actually too good on time, because now I need to prepare too many classes, which is not nice. So you're more than welcome to like ask questions or like delay the like class as much as possible, so then I need to prepare less classes instead. So about all the XML stuff, is there any questions? Like the introduction to XML, anything that didn't make sense? No? Yeah, so for the people who weren't here, the last lecture I just ended up going through like all of XML and most of like validation stuff, so it ended up being a bit quick, but you know, we'll do some exercises, and so if you have any questions, they'll probably come up then. But for now, I think we'll just move on to XPath. Then, like, you'll also. This involves XML too, so you'll get a bit more comfortable doing all the XML things while you're doing XPath exercises. So XPath is basically a way of matching and searching for stuff in an XML tree and performing some operations in it. So you can see it as kind of like a query or a select for XML. So if you have like a XML document example here with like a bibliography and a bunch of books and publishers, information about the authors and stuff. An XPath query would be like some way of retrieving some information from that data computationally, right? Because you can just look at this and be like, okay, like the publisher for the first book is Addison Wesley. But for the computer, we need to like make the computer have a way of doing this itself, and a lot of times you need to do it programmatically, so then XPath. So these are like the concepts of XML, right? We have the root node, which is like the start of the document, and then we have the root element, which is like the first one, which is bib in this case. Remember, you can't have two root elements. You can only have one that is at the highest level. And then you have a bunch of elements and attributes for these elements and text nodes and all this stuff. So the closest thing that you can compare XPath to that you've probably seen is URLs, right? So there, if we have like a slash bib, that returns the document element, so the bib tag. If we just put a slash, that's like the root, which is the beginning of the document. And then we can use progressively more items in the like expression to search for stuff further into the tree. So there we have like slash bib, and then we're at the bib element, and then from there we get the book, and then from book we get the year. These are all like nested inside, right? And then we end up with the elements that are year tags that are inside of book and inside of bib. Here we're doing bib and then paper, which is, there's no papers here. And then we search for year. This will evaluate to empty because nothing is going to match this location in the tree, right? So using XPath, we can retrieve like different things. We can like search for attributes in XML. We can get the root or elements, or we can just get text or comments. Everything is retrievable. So you can see here a mapping of an XML document, and next to it like the tree that represents what would be like retrievable through XPath. So you have the root, and then you have a couple of comments, and then you have there an element, which is the HTML tag, and then we have a namespace, and an element, which is the head, and an element, which is the title, and then inside of the title, we have text. So all these can be retrieved using XPath in one way or another. So each XPath tree node has a string representation that XPath uses to compare nodes. The string value of a text node consists of the character data contained in the node. So the string value is basically of a node is basically all the text that is inside of it. So it ignores all the elements here. So say, for example, what's the text value for HTML? You just go down the tree and you find whatever is text, and we have like processing, and we have like XML how to program. That's what would be retrieved if we're retrieving just strings. We can also retrieve nodes, which would give us like the full element or like the full tag that we're searching for. So here's the different types of nodes we can get with XPath. So we have the root, and this is the string value is basically just concatenating all the string values of all the nodes in the descendants in order of like how it's displayed in the document. We can retrieve elements that or we have like the element node type, which is the XML element, so like both the tags and whatever is inside. We have attributes, which is whatever the value of that specific attribute for an element is. We have the text, which is whatever is inside of the tags. Comments, which is all the stuff that is inside of comment tags. And then yeah, processing instructions and namespaces. Any questions until now? Okay. So axes, all like the previous example that I showed you, where it's just like, you know, slash this, slash that, slash whatever, that's using a specific axis, or that's like a specific notation, which is, it's always going down to the child, right? This is comparable to like CSS, where you have, say you're selecting like some element, and you can do like HTML, and then body, and then like some div, right? For the people that like had CSS, this is kind of the same as doing like the slash HTML, slash body, slash div, right? But that's not the only axis where we can retrieve stuff. Sometimes we don't know like what the immediate child is, or sometimes these like defer from like element to element. That's why like most of the times we just do this in CSS, right? Instead of just targeting the direct children, we just do like, you know, descendant, descendant, descendant. So then it can't really be represented this way, just using the dashes or the slashes when we're doing that type of stuff. So in XML, we have some different axes of how do we retrieve different nodes depending on what the axis is. These axes are stuff like, so we have self, and we have like parents, we can have ancestors, we can have siblings, and these are all like what is the direction of the next step, right? So for example, here we have like a path that begins with slash is just whatever the child of that thing is. If we have like a double slash, that means we are like that can start anywhere from that specific point. So if we're doing like HTML and then we want to like find like all the divs, we can just do this. And that would just be like everything that's like a div that is contained somewhere inside of this tree started by HTML. We can do, or we can reference these axes in some different ways. So if we are, like the default is child, right? And if we're doing like HTML, we can specify what the axis is. By default is child. So by doing child, two dots, and then body, we would be selecting the body tag of HTML. This would be the same as HTML slash body. So whatever we put here is the same as like specifying what the axis of like what we're searching for is, right? So we can specify child, and that is the same as like the default. We can also just specify that it should be a that it could be like a descendant or self, which would search, instead of just searching like the immediate children of that specific tag, it would search both itself and everything that is underneath it. And then we can specify it as descendant and ourself. And this would search for everything that is underneath this specific tag. So in this example, where we have the double slashes and then author, that will just go through the entire document, starting from the root, and trying to match like all the elements that have the author tag resolving to all of those. So these are like all the axes we can specify of like where should this go from here. We have like parents and children. Another example is like the file system, right? If you have like paths in a console, like the parent, if we want to get like the parent of like a specific folder, you do like dot dot, right? Like that is the axis of parent. If we're doing like dash, then we're in the axis of child. So here we can also specify, like, imagine you're in a folder in your terminal, and then you could specify, okay, take me to whatever is the sibling of this specific folder. To do that in XML, we would do like following, and then two dots, and then specify whatever folder it is. So it's basically, the axis is basically specifying like what direction should this query be done towards. Should it be done like towards up the tree, down the tree, towards the siblings, towards the ancestors? Like, what am I searching for here? And then you can also specify exactly like what do you want returned, right? So say you are searching for something, you can specify that you want to get all the nodes, which would be like the full tags plus their content, or maybe you just want the text because that's the only information you're interested in. Then you can use like the text function there. So, for example, if we're doing get me all of the children and they're like get me the text of all the children, we can do like child axis and then give me the text for that specific stuff. And then the bottom one, we're doing give me all the children. And then for each of those, give me the text of all their children. So if you see here, we have a we have a query that gives you or that is trying to get you like all of the names of all the authors. So it starts searching by just going to through like the root element bibliography, and then gets all the books. From the books, gets all the authors, and then from there, it gets the text of all the authors. The problem here is that for some authors, we've specified just like, oh, here's the text of like what the name of the author is, like for Serge and Victor. And for Recall, there is no text directly inside of the tag, right? Inside of the tag, we just have two new like elements, one for first name and one for last name. So this one will not appear in that list because we want author and text. To retrieve the name of that specific author, we instead can do this, which is author and then like a wildcard, which just retrieves everything or all the elements inside there, and then all the text for each of these elements. No, it's bad. Yeah. It's bad for the context of the example, yeah. Because you see there... Hmm?
You wouldn't do this, like, have one first name, last name, the author, when everyone else doesn't.
Yeah, no. But then that's why you would have some sort of validation for the XML. That's why XSD is important. Because, you know, somebody that is, like, inserting data into your system, they might be like, oh, I'm going to split the first name and last name and do it like this. And then somebody else is just going to be like, oh, just name is enough. And then you just end up with a bunch of mess like this. And the problem is, say, if you're doing queries like this and you don't have, like, a proper valid XML, then you run into those type of problems, which is like, oh, yeah, I wanted all the authors, but some idiot put in like first name, last name, and then I didn't get like all the authors, I just got three of them, right? That's why having well-formed XML document is important. So here's an example of using a different access to retrieve stuff. So in this query, we start from the root and then we just do descendant or self, which means like everything going down from here, and then retrieve the author, which as a short way of doing it, you can just do like the double slashes, and that's like the equivalent of descendant or self. And that will give you like all the authors, including like both the entire elements and everything that's inside of it. If we want to retrieve the like moronic entry of a first name, then you can do that where you start with bib, which is like the top element, and then you retrieve all the first names that are descendants of bib. So it will just go down the tree, try to find every node that has the name of first name, and then they'll retrieve like all those elements, right? And then we end up with Rick because that's the only thing there that has first name. In this example, we could also just like remove bib and just do like first name, and that would get you the same result. Yeah, like the more specific, yeah, the better it is. Because imagine if you have, if this is like a huge XML file, right? And we only have first names for, yeah, like books, for example, but then we have like a lot of other garbage somewhere in there. Then just by limiting, like, what am I doing the search on the sentence for, that will, like, limit a lot, like, the time that will be spent processing it. Because then it will just check that specific subtree instead of just checking, like, the whole file, right? It's not bad practice in the sense that sometimes it's needed, right? Like, sometimes it's the same for, like, CSS, right? Sometimes it's fine with just, like, targeting all the descendants that are, like, in that specific, like, subtree of the HTML. Sometimes it should be, like, more explicit. But ideally, you're always, like, the most explicit you can be. But it's always good to, like, leave some room for, you know, stuff, like, going wrong. Yeah. In the context of XML, you can usually be more specific because you already, like, know what the specific, like, layout of the document is going to be, right? So you could just, yeah. And most times, if you are doing, like, the double slashes, you might also end up with stuff that doesn't really concern what you're searching for. Say if we have, like, some other stuff under bib other than the book, and then, like, there's, like, some person that also has a first name. Do we actually want everybody's first names, or do we just want, like, author's first names? So it's about, like, you know, thinking about what you're doing, basically. So So this is a child axis. This is the same as just, like, all the dashes stuff. For parent nodes, this is the same. So if we see there element B, if we're selecting the parents, we're selecting the yellow parent node there. It's very poorly formatted. So that's the same as the two dots in the file system, right? For attributes, you can, like, retrieve the values of specific attributes of elements. And then you can just use the attribute double colon. To the, so is there an example here? So say we can have, like, a element that is called, like, price, and then we have, like, an attribute that is currency. Then it'd be like 10.00 or something, blah, blah, blah. If we want to figure out, like, what the currency of price is, we could do we could do, like, price, and then switch to the attribute axis, attribute, which means search all of the attributes. And doing this would retrieve us, like, all the attributes. If we do, like, currency, then we'd get that specific one. The alternative notation for this is doing at currency. Using the at symbol, that's the same as using, like, attribute, blah, blah, blah. So descendants are, this is going to check all the stuff that is under element B there. So both the children and the grandchildren and so on. Four elements, not for like the texts. All these refer to like the specific elements, not text nodes or attributes or anything like that. Ancestors will check going further up what both the parent and the grandparent, blah, blah, blah. Following will take everything that is after that specific node in the document. So if we have a document that's structured in a certain way where we're going down the tree, right, and then we have like a element and we have like some siblings like we have here, this will select both those siblings and all of the descendants of those siblings. So it's everything that is following that specific node. If we just want to target the siblings themselves, we can do following sibling. So here's an overview of how this works. So we have chapter 2, and we can use the self to refer to the element itself. And we use the 2 because we can like select based on specific filters, and then here everything is 1 based in terms of positioning. And so we have chapter 1 and then we have chapter 2. And that's the element we're starting with, right? Everything that is preceding is that sibling. What is following is both of those. The ancestors is library and book. And the descendants are everything that is inside of that chapter. So you can think of it like a tree like this. So we start with the library, and then we have like 2 books, and then 1 book has multiple chapters, and then each of the 1 chapter has 2 section, and then have paragraphs. So if we take chapter 2, the ancestors are both the book and the library. The descendants are the section of that specific chapter and all their paragraphs. Preceding, we have that chapter 1. Following, we have chapter 3 and book 2. Does this make sense when you look at it as a tree? Fuck. Okay. Honestly, come on. Does this make sense? So for why is book 2 following chapter 2? It's because it's everything that comes, or everything that is opened after that chapter is closed, right? So if you think about it like in the file, right, and when you have like all the tags, book 2 comes after chapter 2 because, you know, you go down this tree and then there's another path here, right? So for the previous example, we have, /, and then book, and then all the descendants of book. So all the descendants of every book that is in the structure. Then we limited on just the sections. So give me all the sections for every book. using the third query there is just every pair, every element that is a parent. Then we have every parent of a section element, and the parent, every chapter that is a parent, so every chapter that has a child, and then everything after the third book in the library. So a lot of this stuff is not, like, you're not really expected to remember all this. You'll probably have a cheat sheet that I posted something on Blackboard. It's in week 44. And that's like the most used, like, axes and how to do most stuff. And then most of this is just like practice and exercises, right? Until you can interpret what an exercise is asking for and then turn that into an XPath query. So here's the abbreviation. So for the current node, we just use like a dot. It's like the file system. Two dots for the parent, again, like the file system. Double slash for descendant or self, and then the add for attribute. So for like path expressions, which is the stuff that we've been looking at, everything that starts with the slash is an absolute path. Everything that does not is a relative path. Probably know this from like, you know, commonly doing stuff in the console as well. The concept is the same. So for brackets, all the stuff that is in brackets are basically ways of filtering the results that you get. So you get a bunch of results, right? And they are like an array. It's a bunch of different things, even if it's just one thing or no things. So by using like bracket one, we are selecting the first book. If we use bracket two, we're selecting the second one. So if we have like a more complex like path like that, then we have book, and then we're only selecting chapter one. And then from chapter one, we're selecting section two. We can also use like the last function there, to, instead of retrieving the first one, retrieving the last one, and then from there we can retrieve like second to last one by using arithmetic, sorry, minus one, minus two, whatever. So we've seen the star or asterisk thing already too. That's basically just a wildcard, which means just matches everything that would be in that specific spot. So instead of specifying like, oh, it should be a chapter, it should be a section, it would just be like, oh, give me everything, I don't care. So you can see there, like, match, like, gets me the author, and then use the star to retrieve all the elements that are inside of author. So it retrieves like both first name and last name. So if we want to select attributes themselves, then we could either use like the attribute axis, which is that thing, or we can use the at symbol. If we put something after the at symbol, like num or currency or something else, then we get that specific attribute. If we want to get like every attribute, then we just use the wildcard star sign thing. And again, we can use brackets to filter some stuff. So there, for example, we're doing chapter, and then give me all the chapters that have an attribute of num. So here we are getting price, so bib, book, and then the price. The top one doesn't have that attribute, so nothing is returned for that one, but then the other one matches price, 55. And then you have like some normal like logical functions like not. So in here, if we're retrieving like books that have, that don't have a price, we could do, you know, / book and then not price. Like we're doing here where we have chapter and then num. So give me all the chapters that have a num attribute and give me all the chapters that don't have a num attribute. Or you can do something like that. Give me a chapter that has like any attributes. And then you can also restrict further on also the value of those attributes. So give me a chapter where the num attribute is 3, right? And then you can like normalize it and whatever. So you remove like leading spaces. Time to take a break. 15 minutes. Okay, so here's how a path expression is evaluated. So you start with A, and it's going to match A, right? And then we have slash B, so it's going to match both the first node and the second node. And then for the first node, it's going to match the attribute. And then for the second node, it's also going to match the attribute. So then what you end up with is a union of both of the results. Yeah. So every step that is like laid out or separated by a slash gets evaluated in progression, and then everything is related to like the previous set of results, right? So for predicates, we're basically evaluating like what should be selected from the set of results that we've gotten. And filtering on that specific predicate. So the most normal form is to just have like the selecting what specific element of the result set we want. So give me the first like text descendant that will select like that'll go through like all the text descendants and then just filter and give you the first one. So these are always like referred to, or these are always evaluated in respect to the context of the previous step, right? So if we take away this one, we are basically evaluating A and then B and then all the text descendants from B, right? All these. And then we are filtering on what are the first ones from this result set. So we have this and this. So that's what the specific thing up there says. Beware, a next past step is always evaluated with respect with the context of the previous step. Here the results consist of those text nodes that are first sentence of a node B, right? So we have B, and then give me all of the text descendants that are the first descendants of B. So there, the text 2 doesn't get returned because that's the second descendant of a node B, right? So here, select the title. Select the title element node for each book that has a Japanese translation. We go through books, and then give me a book that the translation is, or that it has a translation that is Japanese, and then give me the title. So by doing these, or by using the brackets, we can specify this is a predicate, filter the result set on this stuff, and then that will mean that whatever is returned is like a smaller set. So here's some operators that you can use. You can use pipes to unite result sets, and you can use like all the normal like arithmetic operators, and you can use relational operators like the bigger than and whatever in your inside of your predicates. Can use not equal and equal to, and all these like bigger than, smaller than, whatever. And then from these, the ones you mostly need to know is last. This will give you like the last element of that specific result set. Position, which is just changed to like a 1, 2, whatever. And count, that will give you like the number of results in the result set. So here, the first query gives you the last alter of the book node. If we have like position equals 3 or just 3, that will give you the third order, and we can count to return like what are all the total number of element node children of the book node, and select all the books. Yeah, and we have like a bunch of string functions. Now that they exist, you'll probably not use them in the context of this class, at least. But yeah, all the normal stuff that we've also seen with SQL and are available in most programming languages like concat and contains and starts with and all that stuff, that also exists here. And then we have knots and sums and floors and ceilings and rounds and all these things as well that will give you, if we want to like find a specific value of like, oh, give me the average, you know, price of a book or whatever, then you also have these functions that you can use. So here, for example, we have give me the books that have a price that is lower than 60, or give me the authors that have an age that are under 25. Then you have like a bunch of examples and whatnot. So we can just jump into some exercises so it's a bit less boring for me and for you. So I'm on Blackboard. I've posted some tools you can use for all this XML stuff. That's what everything, you're free to use whatever you want. It doesn't matter for me. I've also posted this XML tester online thing that you can just use to quickly evaluate what each of the XPath queries that you're using is. So I'm going to use that now for these exercises. There's an XML inventory file that is in under week 44. That's what is used for these exercises. And the queries are these. So I can... I also haven't done this before, so maybe I screw up, maybe not, we'll see. So you can follow along in the slides that are on Blackboard as well. So the first exercise is list the price of all items. So in this XML we have an inventory and we have the drinks, which have we have like one each item, and they have a price, they have a name, they have an amount, I'm guessing an inventory. And then we have snacks, and then and again like items, like what their name is, what their price is, what their amount is, and that one actually has calories as well. I don't know why popcorn is under drink, but yeah, it's, I didn't make this. So first list the price of all items. How would you do it? Anyone has any idea? Or have we been going too fast? So we need to do item at least, right? But that doesn't give us anything. We could do this, so like the descendants. This is like relative to the root. Give me all of the items. Then we have like all the items matched. You can switch here for like text or node view. And we have like item one, and then I'm item two, and then I'm item three. And then from there, you can just try to restrict whatever the result set is into getting you until you get what you need. So item, and then under item we have price. Then we have all the prices of these elements. Yeah? This is easy enough. So then exercise two is list the prices of drinks only. So we could start by just first getting the subtree of drinks or drink, right? And then from there we get items, and then from there we get prices. Price. And then we get the prices for both the lemonade drink and the popcorn drink. Just move this here. And then afterwards we have list the items with price that is bigger than 2. We can go back to the just price thing, right? Now we have like all the prices. Did anything stick? Do you remember how to like filter this stuff on something? I might not know actually. That's the items with price. So this asks for the items where the price is bigger than 2. By doing this, we're just getting the price, but what we actually want is like the entire item object. So to do that, we can use the brackets. This is an expression, and then we can do bigger than 2. And this will just give us lemonade, etc., and ignore popcorn, right? Because price here is 150. This is going to compare all the prices of all the items that we have here. And since that one doesn't match, then it's not going to be in the result set. Right? List the names of items with price bigger than 2. So we already have all the items that have a price bigger than 2, right? You can see here on the right side that we have like the entirety of those nodes. So from there, we can just get the information that we want from those specific nodes. In this case, it's name. So we can just add a dash and then do name. And then we get the names of the items with those. And then list the price of items having price more than 2. And this is the same. So we're already filtering on the stuff that has a price bigger than 2. And then we want to get the prices. Then we just do like price. And then we get, fuck, those prices. Yeah. So that's a starting point, and then you can do the other 5 exercises in that slide 76 yourselves, and see if you can do it or not. I'll give you like 10 minutes. No, 5 minutes. 1 minute per exercise is enough. I did, but I don't remember anything. Yeah, I need to look at it. Let me see. Assignment 5, part 1, part 2. And part 1... So, yeah, we have 2 tables, and one has a traveler and whatever. Yeah. So, convert the data. into an XML document, and then you might adapt it to whatever the fuck. Yeah. So, yeah, what is the question?
It's like you're going to format the tables into XML.
Yeah, pretty much.
One file.
Yeah. So that's the appeal of XML and the stuff that we're going to look at next week, like NoSQL, which is you just store documents as opposed to storing all this stuff in like loose tables, which means instead of doing like a bunch of joins when you want to like retrieve data, you're just like, oh, give me this document, and you'll get like all the data that's related to, you know, student Roger, whatever, right? Instead of like having to do a bunch of joins to like get all the data that you actually need, and then yeah, so the objective here it is to join all the data into like one XML file. How you choose to organize your specific XML file, it's up to you. And then you might get it right or you might get it wrong, I guess. But just ask the TAs, they'll probably just tell you the answer anyways. So 5 minutes, have you finished all the exercises of this list? Yeah, I'll just keep on going. Does anyone have any suggestions on how to do number six there? List the type parent of items with price bigger than two. Nice answer. Yeah, so we have price and we have like items price bigger than two, right? And then list the type parent of items that have price bigger than two. So here we have all the items that have a price bigger than two, and then it asks for the parents. So then we can do like, then we're getting the parents. Right. So this will basically give you like all the categories of the inventory that have like some item that has a price bigger than two. Of course, you could also do like parent, and then if you want to be verbose, which is not really needed. So, yeah, doing this, and then two dots, and that's it. So list all of the attributes. To list all the attributes, you can just do either do like attribute and then everything, and then just find all the descendants, find all the attributes for all the descendants, or you can just use the at symbol, which is also a bit more convenient. That will give you all the attributes in the XML file. List the items whose supplier is a store. So first you need to figure out what do you actually want, and you want the items, right? And then we also need to filter those items on something. So we're filtering them on the supplier. So whatever is inside of the brackets is relative to the current context, right? So we have item and then find the supplier, and then where that supplier is equal to store, right? So this is going to run the query item, find me the supplier, find me the items where the supplier equals store, right? Does that make sense? And then list the ID of items whose supplier is a store. So again, you kind of need to separate like what am I filtering on and what is the expected output, right? What I'm filtering on here is that like I want to filter all the stuff that I have by like things that have or items that have a supplier that is a store. And we already have done that with this query. But then we also want the ID of those specific items. We don't want like the entire item, we just want the ID. So then we can do at ID, and then we're getting just the ID of that specific, of those specific stores or of those specific items, as opposed to just getting the entire item itself. List the name of items whose supplier is a store and whose price is bigger than 2. So we can reuse this query again. List the number of items whose supplier is a store and whose price is bigger than 2. So what we need to filter on is both all the items that have a supplier that is a store and their price is bigger than 2. And price bigger than 2. So then we're just getting that specific, the chips, because the chips is the only item that fulfills both of these conditions, right? And then what it asks for is just get me the name of these items, not like the full item, and then the name is chips. Normally the exercises are worded in a way that is not like ambiguous what is actually wanted. Do you want like the element? Do you want just the text? If you wanted the text, then you do this. If you just want the element, you just do this. But most of the time, it doesn't matter. And if somebody grades this wrong, just go and complain, and you'll probably get the points. Unless it specifically asks, like, give me the just the text value. then you need to be able to know, like, how do I extract the text value from this node, right? But if it just asks, like, oh, give me the name, then it's not really explicit, like, is it one thing or the other, so you could just do whatever you want. Okay. And then we have amount of first item that appears in XML. Yeah. Then we have exercise 11 says list the amount of the first item that appears in the XML document. When something like appears in the XML document shows up with first, you probably just need to do like the double dash. That basically means like search the entire context of the document. And then give me the items. And then for the items, give me the first one, which is lemonade. And then give me the amount. And I'll give you 20. Or no, wait a second. That is not right. Wait. Different types. That is over the context thing. Would it be like position? No. It's the context of the parent. I need to double check this issue. List the amount of the first item of different types. Yeah. Then for this, is this. Because the one refers to like the top context, right? Of the context where the item is a member of, and that's why we get two results, one for snack and one for drinks. List the items whose supplier is a store with a child element calories. So here we need the items and the supplier, where the supplier is store, and then it has a child element of calories. So item, and then has an attribute supplier. All of those have it, but that attribute should be equal to store, and just those two have it, chips and other stuff. And then give me just the one that has a child with an element of calories and calories. Right? Makes sense. So we're still returning the items, plus we're returning the items that have calories in the supplier store. List the name of items whose ancestor is drink. So what this asks is the name of all the items, right? Items and then name. Items and name. But then it also adds the restriction that not only is this what I want, but I also want these results to be filtered. So then we need to filter these somehow. And to filter the items, we can do where ancestor and consist. Right? So we have items, and then we're filtering the items where the ancestor is drink, and then you were returning the names of all of those items. If you take these away, then you get also chips, but we introduced a filter that just retrieve me the items where the ancestor is drink, and then we just get those. Yeah, that is also a possibility. It depends on like how you interpret the exercise. Sometimes they will say like ancestor plus something else, and then you just can only use that specific thing. In this case, you could also do like drink, like you said, and item and name. Does that make sense? Why you can do both? Yeah. So it's all about how do you approach the problem. You can usually do it from like a multiple different ways because you have like all these axes you can filter stuff on, which is both like a good thing. Like, I don't know how many times I've wanted to like select or add some like styles in CSS on the parent based on like the condition of the child. And then I'm like, fuck, I can't do this. I wish this was XML. But at the same time, it's a lot more of a mess because you have like so many options of doing things that it can just become like, you know, awful. So yeah. I'll put both of these into here, and then exercise 15 is list the name of items who has a descendant of calories. So again, we start with items, or item, and then we want the name of the items, and then we also want to filter what items we're showing, and in this case, it would be if how do you make something actually exist? I just need to use descendant, I guess. Descendant. Yeah, and you get chips. So the first you have item, and then give me all the items that have a descendant that is calories, and then give me the names of those items. Yeah. Count the total items, so count, and then items. Wait, how did you do this? Honestly. Thank you. I've lost the mouse. There. Yeah. Non-standard output 3. And then count the total items of type drink. So then it could do like drink an item, and then you get 2. And then count the total number of children nodes of items. So take the items and then give me all the children which is 10. And then list the name of the last item. So you take item and then the last one, which is popcorn and whatever, and then name. I need to check how to do it relative to the XML document. But yeah. Did these make sense? I'm sure it looked like very easy when I did it, but you need to do some exercises yourselves to figure out how to do this. But that's what the assignment is for. So, but at least you've seen me do it in class now, so you should be able to, in theory, have the skills to do it yourselves, but, you know, it's never that easy, is it? Yeah, so any questions about any of this XPath stuff that you have? No. It's basically just like a file path, right? Or like some CSS selectors with the added bonus of having all the different axes of stuff, which just adds like a bunch of complexity, but it's also pretty useful. Yeah. So that's it for today, I guess. Yeah. See you tomorrow.